Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sequester podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, we have a very special guest. I'm very excited to be talking with our guest this week. It's CJ from Season 2. How are you doing, CJ?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very excited to be talking with you. I'm excited to get your takes. I'm ready to do this. Let's go.
Me too.
Also with me tonight is Brent Walgamott. Brent, I've seen some of your reactions to this episode on social media. I don't know if anybody is prepared for what's going to happen tonight.
I think that I have actually been cursed by one of the seven deadly sins. I'm thinking it was wrath, Taryn. That's what it was. It was the wrath. I got hit with the wrath card, CJ, and I'm all bent out of shape about this episode of Sequester.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty common one with you, to be fair.
Yeah, that's how I watch. Look, it's how I watch my TV. Look, I'm going to be real with you guys. Okay, real from the start, right? Okay, I was talking with Kim Atina tonight. She's like, Brent, just don't go quite so personal at these people. And I'm like, that is not how I do my podcasting, all right? She's like, I read you on Twitter and you're just so raw. And I'm like, well, first, it's like 280 characters, so I don't have time, I'm sorry, to freaking explain myself. However, even besides that, like, that's just how I am. You got to live with that. I mean, I will continue to podcast about the way I podcast until Rob tells me not to. Okay, like if Rob doesn't want me here, then I won't be here anymore. But this is how I podcast. I'm a fan on the couch. As I've always said, you want logic and rational thinking, you go to Taryn. You want passion and standing your favorites, you come to me. That's just how it is.
Yeah,
so you're not standing my favorites.
I appreciate it, Kim. But yeah, I've been there. It's a losing battle. So we are here to talk about the latest episode of Sequester Season 3. It was the Seven Deadly Sins twist that we're going to face this week. And of course, we're coming off of the week where Cameron went down for the second time. And we're going to see that Erica, at the start of this episode, is going to come storming back in. She does not believe that Hunter screwed her over, so she's going to jump straight into his lap and like, oh, it's just us. It's just us, Hunter. And he's like, how do I get you out of here? What a way to start the episode, CJ.
Honestly, I just had to shake my head the whole time because I was like, really? And the fact that Hunter's just playing it off, yeah, for sure. Like, he's doing a good job, at least, of making it seem very believable that he was not involved in any of that. So props to him in that regard.
Yeah, that's about the only props Hunter's going to get from us today. Yeah, okay.
that's one thread from this episode that I found interesting was that Cameron like set it up. She teed it up. She said Hunter was in on this and she didn't believe it. I don't believe it. Nope. I don't think that's true. I know you're lying. And then I was so surprised that nobody else tried to, because I think if even just one other person was like, oh no, yeah, Hunter was doing that, I think two people would have made her think, wait a minute, two people. And then maybe she would have asked a third who would have been like, oh yeah, no, totally. He totally did that. And maybe the secret could have come out, but apparently it did not, Brent.
Yeah. I don't know if it was going to work. I mean, who else does Erica have to turn to at this point? So even if you do try to turn him against Hunter, I feel like she's like, well, that's the only sort of maybe kind of ally that I have. So what, I mean, am I going to pick him? What the hell am I going to do? How is that going to change the status quo and things? Also, I feel like Hunter would have been able to hide in the like look, I really didn't want to pick you, Erica. I really didn't want to campaign with you, but everyone else was saying that. So I felt like I had to go along with them. Like, I felt like that's a tried and true way that reality TV contestants get by with things is like, I was just taking orders basically, which never comes off well.
Mm. All right. Well, we're going to start this episode off, as I said, with the Erica stuff, but then we're going to learn about the seven deadly twins twist. Seven deadly twins.
I heard you.
Sins twist, not twins cyst.
Cyst. Oh my God. Takes me back to RuPaul's Drag Race and my cyst. My sister.
So there's seven players remaining. They're each going to pick at random one of the seven deadly sins, and they each have their own specific effect on the player that chooses them. So we can run through some of these, but most of them were relatively, most of them were like obstacles in the way of the strategizing. So for instance, Erica picked pride, and so she had to wear a blindfold the whole time
to humble herself.
Yes. And I thought that was actually well edited, where she's talking about how great she is and then she chooses pride in the in the confessional to choosing the thing. So that was that. Jess got Sloth, I believe,
yeah,
which meant that she was in bed the whole time. And this was, I would not have liked this one. Had to spoon everybody that she strategized with. I don't know. I don't know if she went full spoon there, but she definitely had to get close, to each person. So, that was definitely in the way of the strategizing. Jayla had to eat a gross meal. She had gluttony. This is one of my least favorites, only because of Dustin's punishment, which was greed, I believe. And he basically had an option in front of him that he could choose to get a free pass through this round. But if he chooses it, then everybody else has to eat the gross meal from gluttony. And as soon as they said that was the punishment, I was like, oh, that's a no brainer.
Yeah, right.
And so he chooses it, and everybody has to eat the gross meal, and now it's not unique to Jayla anymore.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I really, first of all, I thought the gluttony one was stupid. I thought they could have thought up something else. First of all, I liked this twist. The twist wasn't the issue. My biggest issue with the episode was the contestants were just trying to find ways around the twist rather than trying to work with the twist. Be that as it may, we'll get to that. I agree with your take on the gluttony and then Dustin getting a fast pass by just imposing the gluttony punishment on everybody else. It was a weak sauce to me, as I would say, CJ. And I didn't really think that I thought he should have had to give up something a little bit harder in order to like you can fast pass your way to the round to the final six, but you have an automatic vote cast against you that people don't know about in that round. Something like that, where you would instantly have to pay for your greed, but he didn't have to pay for anything with the greed. And that's what I didn't like.
Yeah. I feel like there was, it was very like the consequence was not worth necessarily the reward.
Yes.
And then, yeah, I agree with the Jayla, like, gluttony. I feel like that was of all of them the weakest of them of the twist, just because you eat nasty food. That's it. Like everybody else had something that would in a way affect their strategy, their game.
I
don't think bad breath is necessarily a
not in the least
breaker. So it's like but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know, like, maybe I'm not, like, the most picky eater in the world, but it also didn't seem like that bad of a meal. Maybe I'm just crazy.
I think you're crazy. It was pretty bad. I don't know if I would have been like Jayla. I'd have been like, I tasted a little bit. Is that okay?
Maybe I'm too used to, like eating large bugs and stuff, but, like, hot dog slices, and not from Sequester, obviously, but I just watched the challenge where they had to eat, like, a gross thing.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought you were eating the large bugs, and I was like, yeah.
No, yeah, I just eat gross bugs all the time.
You left out
myself.
A part about you viewing that. You just said, I'm so used to eating large bugs. That's what you said. Like,
I'm so used to, you know, eating gross bugs as in part of those challenges. Yes. Where people eat bugs.
I get it now.
But you know, so I don't know, but overall, and also, I, like, there's only like a day left, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's so why how I thought this meals, was a no-brainer.
How many meals are they two? Eating there? Yeah. Like two more? Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
this is so. Definitely the last day because it's morning or, you know, a bright day when you're seeing this. And they only have two more rounds to go. Final six, final five, and then final four finale. So, I mean, in the finale itself, the cycle for the finale starts at the final five. So there's only two more episodes after this, which, you know, I assume they're on the Sunday or the Monday that they were on. And they're in the home stretch at this point. His was a no-brainer. The person who I had the least amount of problems with in this episode was Dustin. I'm not going to give him a huge amount of props for it, but he did what he was supposed to do and take the fast pass to the final six and call it a day.
Yeah, I do appreciate the idea of this, though. I like the idea. I feel like it's kind of old school Big Brother, the idea of here's an advantage, but you have to piss people off in order to get it, as opposed to like a poorly designed, you know, game thing where there's a game balance, where I think it could be well designed, but often in Big Brother, it's poorly designed. And I feel like it is interesting to try and combine social with the game elements.
I take your point on that. And CJ, this is the thing, and the thing that I always run into is, like, to me, because I know who produces the show, obviously Audrey Middleton, and I like love the people who are a part of it, I hold the show to a higher standard. Like, I mean, I know that like Big Brother does shitty twists, and that's what Big Brother does, is they do shitty twists. When it comes to Sequester, I expect the twists to be better than Big Brother. And so when they like are more like the level of Big Brother, I'm unhappy.
Which makes sense, but you also have to consider the fact that it's not just the twist, but it's who's playing while
right.
the twist.
I know. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. I know.
All right.
So the cast is getting dragged later.
Oh yeah. Boy. Well, the others are there are two votes. So Zach has two votes,
has to vote for different people.
Yeah, that was. Don't remember which sin that was.
I don't remember either.
But yeah, they had to be separate people. I couldn't put two votes on one person. And then Hunter is going to lose his vote, which makes him very upset. I don't know how I was supposed to feel here.
Thank you,
CJ. Especially like the initial confessional. He's done so many of the like really sarcastic, like, oh man, I'm so sad about this. Not that I was expecting him to go, not, but he was like, no, but seriously, it sucks. And then it shows him like crying on the couch, but then he's like, and here's me playing up my sadness, but it does suck. And I was like, oh, how am I supposed to feel, CJ?
It was very jarring, and I was unsympathetic to it just because of how much he's been like, I'm Hunter and I'm a snake and I don't care and yada yada yada, and like hasn't really expressed a lot of emotions aside like anger, Hurricane Hunter. So it's like,
thank you.
At
yes.
this point, it just seems like he's doing it for show and not necessarily like a genuine, I'm sad.
Yes, I'll say this, that, you know, people expect me to drag Hunter on the round where nobody was talking to him and he was acting out. And I'm like, bitch, please. That's the realest that Hunter has ever been on this show. Like every other time I see Hunter on the show, it's canned confessionals that I don't even know how to feel. And it's very awkward. Hunter complaining that people aren't talking to him and acting out like a freaking child. That was real to me. And so at least I could identify with that. But everything else about him has just seemed totally fake, even if he doesn't mean for it to.
Also, like, call me crazy, but this was a good thing for him, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because unless you're Hunter and you're scared of standing up for a battle match, which apparently he is.
Right, but when it's Erica that's going to be voted out anyway, and you've snaked people on the last two votes, this is basically you had to either snake them again by not voting Erica, or finally vote Erica and reveal to her that she can't trust you maybe, and that maybe she would actually pick you in that instance, but because you don't have any vote, you get to keep the blood off your hands, and obviously Erica's not going to pick you, so this is kind of a best case scenario.
For someone like Hunter, CJ, I felt like this was absolutely the best case scenario.
Yeah, definitely. Just because at this point, yeah, he would have been exposed for voting her had he had that vote, and that would have been the line in the sand. But I think just because he didn't have the vote, like, Erica's like, oh, you can sit down. You're good, Hunter. Like, I love you, besties for life. Like, we're good, ride or dies. And Hunter's like, can you leave?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
By the way, CJ, I wanted to tell you this, and I think I've told you this like offline, but you were Cameron before Cameron. You were the girl who's got strong opinions, who doesn't need any help, who's like leading out in front, and who has like the like interesting arm motions to go with it. I love that about you, but I just definitely like it definitely bothered me about Cameron. Anyway, moving on.
Was that supposed to be a compliment or a dig? I'm not sure.
I liked CJ, yeah.
But I'm confused. For the reason that you like me, you didn't like it on Cameron.
Cameron was hating on Erica, and that was the problem, that I didn't really like Cameron. So anything she did do, I was like, yeah, I'm had enough of you, bye. Whereas you weren't really hating on anybody, particularly on your season. You were just, you definitely had hate for people, but it was enough hate to go around. And so like when it happens like that, I feel like I can identify with it more, because I kind of hate everybody right now, too.
Jake Round would say otherwise. My hate was placed, but
I think the cheat sheet for whether or not Brent likes you is do you like the person he likes? If yes, you're good. If no, not good. So what are your feelings on Erica?
Oh, I'm not an Erica stan. Uh-oh. And I'm ready to get into that whenever that comes up. We can go toe to toe.
Okay, we can talk about
There's one more sin, and that was Tori's. And if I'm being honest, I don't remember what it was.
It was she had to have her entire voting history displayed to people.
Did we see a scene where that happened?
No.
There
wasn't really, I don't think, anything that was worth showing, I'm guessing, is why it was withheld, since we didn't see action.
Yeah, they definitely yada yada'd it. So, whatever. We got a confessional from Tori like, great, I'm happy to show people who I've been voting for. I've always been Miss Authentic. I love that she brings up that word again. And so, like, people will know I've been authentic, CJ.
So there
you go. Irony is not lost there, because, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so that sets the stage for the strategizing this round. And speaking of Tori, she is going to go to Erica pretty quickly. And I thought this was hilarious, just based on my sort of analysis of how Tori has played the game, that one of Tori's more successful conversations with another player is when they're blindfolded and can't see her mannerisms. And Erica even says, like, I can't see her, so I'm not exactly sure how to take this, but it sounds good.
Oh god, yeah, that's great. I was really, look, of the people who I'm coming for, Tori again is not one of them. I was very happy with Tori in this episode. Yes, she was trying to help Erica, but I do feel like she had a method to her madness. She was willing to switch gears in midstream. This isn't like, okay, I'm gonna get into it right now, and then we can talk about it more as the episode goes on. This is my problem with the rest of you on Sequester, is that you're just playing the follow the leader. You're just playing the, okay, somebody told me to do what, I'm gonna do what. Jessica, it's like, Who are we voting for this week? Oh, we're voting for Erica? Okay, let's vote for Erica. Like, there's no method to your madness. It's just, like, what am I being told to do? And then I'll do it. If the leader says I'll do this, if Dustin, who is ostensibly leading the house right now, if he says we're going to vote out Erica, then we'll vote out Erica. Tori at least has a mind of her own. It's like, you know what? I'm going to give people a good show. I'm going to realize that not only does this make good TV, but also this works good for my game, because I need Erica in the final four at this point. And it doesn't behoove me to just go along with the plan of everybody else to go ahead and keep voting out Erica like Jayla does, who apparently doesn't have a mind of her own and just says, I'm just going to keep putting Erica up there until the cows come home, which, by the way, is not good TV. My problem with you guys in Sequester is that Audrey brought you onto the show to make good TV. And Jayla, this is not good TV. This is boring TV. So that's why I'm annoyed with everybody right now. Okay.
She's got fun confessionals. That's her good TV.
Okay. Apparently, that's all she's here for.
You're sassy, so that's what matters, okay? No, but honestly, I feel like this episode really was a reminder of how adaptable Tori is and her, like, kind of social control that she has in this game, because she was able to jump ship from Dustin and Zach and just be like, okay, I don't want to work with you anymore. Like, Cameron's gone, so I don't need to be with you guys.
Right.
Sup? What's good? Erica, we need to be sitting next to each other at that round table. So let's work from there. Because I feel like if Cameron was still in the game, she would have been more willing to ride out what was already happening. And because now, you know, rug's been pulled out from underneath her. She's like, okay, let's go. Next thing. And that's something that you really need in Sequester to be successful, is that ability to be like, okay, ally gone. What do I need to do now? What do I need? Like, thinking very quick on your feet. And I think it's very prevalent.
So many people feel like they're playing Survivor, where they just vote somebody off and they say sayonara, but the person that you vote off could come back. And so Tori has that extra gear where she's like, okay, my ally went home. What do I need to do now? How do I, like, and it's not just that. She's looking from A to B to C to D, whereas, like, I know what I need to do to prepare myself for the end game. Whereas nobody else is doing that. Jayla's just like, oh, let's just put Eric up. That's what we've been doing, so let's do that. She has no freaking clue what she's going to do in the end game or how she's going to get a win at the end, which, by the way, the runner-up doesn't get any money. They get absolutely nothing. The winner gets everything. So the only way this is worth anything for you is to get to the end and win. Jayla, how are you going to do that? I don't know. You then forgot about the twist last week and still voted for Erica. So what are you going to do this week? Just vote for Erica again, I guess. Okay, sounds good.
All right. I think this is the correct decision for Tori. I think that, basically, this is what Tori has been for the last two or three rounds now, been trying to get out Dustin. Basically, ever since Dustin said, handshakes mean nothing to me, she's been like, I don't want him here. I want Dustin gone. I need more women in the final four so that I have a place to hide. Cameron didn't agree. And every single round, she's just been unsuccessful at trying to get what she wants to have happen. And so it's gotten to a point where now she has to turn to one of her arch enemies and be like, we kind of need each other. Which I do think they did, and let's try and work something out. But again, this round, she's not going to find much success in getting the other players to agree with her vision, and that's going to be obviously an issue for her moving forward.
Since we're talking about Tori, let's just go through her little part of the game here, because I felt like that she had good conversations with Erica, but I felt like she faltered when she was talking with Zach and Dustin. I feel like part of that can be placed on Dustin. He was playing particularly bad this round. I think safety does that to people sometimes, so they act differently than they ordinarily would if they felt like they were on the chopping block. But I felt like Tori just needed to be a little bit more honest with Dustin and be like, look, we planned this out for you and Zach and me and Cameron to be in the final four. Cameron's gone. We need somebody else right now, and I need somebody of Cameron's caliber. Only person left, I'm allowed to misspeak too. The only person who's left in the game who rivals Cameron's caliber is Erica. That is it. Long story, point blank, end of period. I felt like she would have behooved herself to simply be more honest with Dustin and say, look, I hear what you're saying. I know you want Erica out, but I need Erica in at least one more round. Let's at least target somebody like Hunter, who I feel like is the perfect person for them to target. And I also have issues with Dustin targeting Erica in the first place, because Dustin is safe this round, CJ. Dustin doesn't have to worry. He can't even be picked for a battle match. I feel like the one person you want to get out on the round where you're safe is the person who's most likely to pick you, and that is Hunter. Remember, in real time, it was like not like a couple hours ago that Hunter and Dustin were fighting in the round where nobody would talk to him, and Hunter was really put out with Dustin. I feel like if Dustin is going to be picked for battle, it's probably going to be someone like Hunter, who's had it up to here with him and just wants to have his pound of flesh. So I felt like it would, like, Dustin's talking like, well, it's a good idea for Erica to be voted off because I know she's going to pick Jayla. But how does that help you, Dustin? Like, that doesn't do anything for you specifically, because you can't be picked for a battle this round.
Especially considering he's essentially as scared as Hunter is to go into a battle, because the two people this episode who are like, I don't want a battle, I'm terrified, are Dustin and Hunter. And I feel like part of it is the fact that Dustin is very short-sighted in the fact that he hasn't really talked a ton about his end game and kind of what he wants, aside from that like foursome that was relatively recent and now one member's out. But also just, he's not great at, you know, in the moment kind of going with something, as we saw early on with, you know, did you fuck me? And he's just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like he just doesn't have, like, he either shines or he flops. And this was a flop.
Yes, he does. That's exactly how I evaluated Dustin. He shines or he flops.
So I'll take two issues, I think, with what you're saying, Brent. First is I disagree about what Tori should have done. I think that saying I need Erica in the final four is way too revealing about what she intends to do and why she needs Erica, especially when Zach is in the room right there. And Zach, minus Erica, Zach is her best and only hope in the final four.
Maybe I misspoke. I didn't say that she needs Erica in the final four. I said she needs Erica in for one more round, that they planned the final four as Cameron and Tori and Dustin and Zach, and Cameron's now out. So for one round, I need Erica to remain in the game, me personally, and then after that, we can get rid of her.
What's the reason, though?
She doesn't need to get into that.
That's super sketchy. Like, the person I've been trying to get out for a long time, I need her in the game now. I can't tell you why.
You're obviously not going to say it like that unless you're pushed. If you're pushed, then you obviously have to reveal something. But I feel like she could have done this.
I think focusing on Erica too much reveals that you have some kind of deal with Erica. I think you need to put your focus on the person you want out more. And I think that
I agree with that. Her way of going about things was not Erica. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't in favor of getting out somebody else, CJ. It was all about, like, well, I don't really think it should be Erica, or I don't really want Erica, or I don't want to battle Erica, or I'm afraid to battle Erica. It was just not Erica doesn't work. You have to be for somebody to get somebody out, Tori, and I feel like that would have served her better.
Yes.
Yeah, I think part of the issue in that, though, was if had she been more willing to say a name to vote versus anybody but Erica, I think it would have been smart for her to bring up that, hey, I want Erica to, you know, stay around. Like, if she was saying a name as well as trying to bring Erica along, just because even though Taryn, as you brought up, like, oh, why would she say like she wants Erica in Final Four? That would be too revealing. I don't necessarily think that would be the case, just because the guys know that Tori was with Cameron. They could see Erica if she was able to, you know, word it correctly, which she's done relatively well, kind of explaining things in a way that people are like, okay, I'll bite. That she could make it seem like, yeah, I just want to like drag Erica along, whatever, and maybe sell it to one of them as a, yeah, so Erica could like be the one that we drag or something. I don't know necessarily how she would sell that, but I think that there is a route to go. Had that been the case,
I agree.
I think that if she were to go in that direction, I think the case to make is, okay, well, how about this? How about instead of rolling the dice on Erica every week, we just take her to the final four with us? We know none of us are going to pick her, because if she makes it to the end, she'll win. And so she's an easy person to just drag to the final four and let go at that point.
And there's nothing that can save you at the final four. You heard Zach say that his LOS is only good for 1 week. So there's nothing, and there's no battle match at the final four.
Right.
She has no way to save
herself. It's
completely in their hands. That's all they have to do is point at her. She's gone.
Right. So that could work, but I also think, like, in the limited amount of time, I think that's a big plan to pitch in a short amount of time. So I don't know what kind of success it might have seen there. And then with Dustin, I actually disagree that Erica was the wrong choice here. In fact, I think Erica is probably the person most likely to pick Dustin in a battle match. She wanted to pick him this time around and couldn't. And she tells Jess on her way out, make sure you get Dustin out.
I feel like she wanted to pick him just because he got the safety. Am I reading that wrong, CJ?
Well, but he had the safety at that point, right. So he had to be worried about her in the next round, because she was the person most vocal about going after him.
Yeah, but I didn't feel like that was revealed until after he'd already decided I'm going after her. So it was like a little bit the chicken and the egg, like which came first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but he had been after her before. I just feel like she's the most likely person to pick him. I think Hunter probably the second most likely, but I think Hunter is more likely to pick somebody else who he thinks he has a better chance of beating. Maybe Jess than Erica would have. Okay. Who I think definitely would have picked him. All right, so they have that discussion. It's Dustin talking to Zach and Tori. He really wants Erica to go. It did seem like Zach was more on Tori's side in this conversation. In fact, the first confessional we get is him saying that Zach was kind of like, or that Dustin was kind of just like forcing his point onto them. And I just immediately felt like this is not Zach's These are not Zach's words. And then we got a confessional from Tori saying Zach was just forcing his ideas on us. And I was like, that's where it came from. So I feel like Zach is still pretty firmly with Tori. And this is Tori's best chance, I think, of getting into the end. It's almost exactly what I said last week, which is, well, I guess if Cameron's gone, my final two is with Tori. I guess that's just seems to be how it's playing out here.
Yeah. We've certainly dogged Zach a lot on this show. CJ, what's your take on him? Because I'm sure that he's a very nice guy in real life, but he really makes not for scintillating television here. Honestly, the confessional that he got about what he was going to do in the final four really was probably the most that I have enjoyed Zach in a confessional this entire season, mainly because, and obviously it was parodied from what Tori said, so that's the reason why, but nevertheless, I enjoyed it. So I'm curious on your take on Zach, and are we being too hard on it?
Oh no, this isn't a hot take. Like Zach is just, I feel like he's not self-aware to understand like, oh, people aren't targeting me and trying to flush my LOS because they don't think I'm a threat. Like he's not picking up on that. And in terms of entertainment value, his confessionals are not necessarily up to par with, say, a Tori, a Cameron, an Erica. Like he's not bringing it. And even say a Hunter, like while Hunter is polarizing, you could at least, you know, he's breathing.
Yeah.
I feel like Zach is very, this is what I'm going to do. I think Tori's my final two now. Cool. And it's very, I don't know. It doesn't feel like he has a fire inside of him that's like, I want to win this game. It's just kind of like, this is cool. I'm here another week.
Yeah, it's sort of weird because, you know, like you definitely have to go out of your way to audition for any reality show. But I feel like Sequester more than anything is a show you really have to go out of your way to find an audition for and say, yes, I've watched season two. I know what I'm doing. I want to do this show. I'm just wondering how Zach ended up on this show. Like, I need Audrey. You know what? After the show, Audrey, call me. Call me and tell me how Zach ended up on your freaking show. I want to know that for my own edification.
Sure, that's on the top of her I want to do that list for tonight. I feel like I got to know Zach more in this episode than in previous episodes, and I think I'm starting to get a better sense as to why he's doing so well as of right now in the game. And he seems like just a really chill dude. Like he seems like he's really easy to get along with. Nobody's mad at Zach except for Cameron that one time, and that was kind of like she shouldn't have been. Like nobody gets mad at Zach. Everybody seems to like Zach, and he's got a lot of like outward loyalty, but I do think there is a small bit of self-interest there as well. For instance, in the final four, if he is with Tori and it's a 2v2 kind of situation, I could see him as the kind of person that's like, well, if it's me or Tori, I'm going to choose me. I don't think he's loyal to that much of a fault. I think that he's been willing to sort of shift allegiances when necessary. Even though he wants to be loyal, he is a generally loyal guy. He still has that little bit of self-interest and a lot of likability. And so he doesn't have a ton of respect in the game, but it's not nothing to be that liked, that well-liked in the game. And I do feel like it's a non-zero chance that he ends up winning.
I reject that. There's no scenario where Zach is the winner of this season. I've heard too many people in their confessionals talk about like, hey, dude, I didn't even know you were there. Hey, dude, I didn't even know you had a heartbeat in the game. Hey, dude, sometimes I even forget that you're playing. Like, so many people have said that. I would absolutely be stunned if five of them were to go up there and vote for him to win the game. No way.
Just picture Zach and Hunter. And Hunter is sitting there. I played you all. I'm the best. You don't understand. I had it all under control. Hurricane Hunter had it and all in the bag. You all suck. And Zach's just like, look, I tried. I did the best I could. I pivoted when I needed to pivot. You know, I did what I had to do. Like, I don't know. I've seen these juries be pretty bitter before. I don't know.
I talked about this in my, I ranked the contestants from like jury threat, like number one to jury threat number seven of the seven people remaining in the game. and I had Zach at the bottom, and I explained why. Like, I think even Jayla beats Zach at this point. I just don't feel like that enough people are willing to vote for Zach to be the winner of Sequester. To have him represent their season? No, ma'am. No.
I think it depends, though.
Yeah. I agree.
Certain people respect, like, you see players who are jurors who are willing to respect a strong competitive game that might not have any social game. A Jake, who was very much liked in our jury, but obviously he didn't win. But, like, had he won, he would have had a strong case just because he won competitions, even though he didn't really have any social capital.
See, so I reject that. Let's talk about it. See, I talked about this a little bit in the Sequester thread. I know that people always say that about Jake, I don't realize we're talking about season two, but just indulge me for like 10 seconds here. Okay. People say that Jake didn't have any social capital in season two, but after the final nine, he wasn't actually voted for at the final eight, at the final seven, at the final six. He was not voted for you guys until the final five, when enough of you joined together to vote him out. Jake was not voted for. He was voted by the Wheel of Misfortune at the final eight. And then at final seven, he wasn't voted out. And the final six, he wasn't voted out. So people saying
two
that
Jake, rounds.
Three rounds. He never got. I mean, you can't count the fucking wheel. I'm not going to count the wheel as an indictment of his social game. Like, three rounds, final eight, final seven, final six, where he was not voted for by the people in your game of Sequester. So I reject the fact that he didn't have enough of a social game to survive on his own.
Just very quickly, I will also say,
people got bored. Like, we were like, you know what? We're gonna maybe give this kid a break. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably not that entertaining that we're voting the same kid out every week. So yeah, I'm down to like switch it up, whatever. And it was less of, oh, let's get the biggest threats, and more of just let's give Jake a break. Like, whatever. And I still wanted him out, but everybody else was just kind of like, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And even Jace said, and Jace was on production for our season, I love Jake, but if he didn't go on a run in battles, he would be the Zach of season two. Which I think is, look, Jake got some warnings about, hey, Jake, buddy, you're not on camera much. You might need to get in there a little bit.
Okay. So,
right, yeah. Well, and I like, not getting votes is not the same thing as having social capital in the game.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he had enough social capital that they avoided voting for him for three rounds, which
I mean, there's a difference between not getting voted out for four rounds straight instead of two rounds straight or whatever, and Hamza and Jesse like needing to go after each other regardless of who else was there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So
I'm not saying he was like the world's best social game. I'm just saying he had a little bit. He had a little bit, all right? Like, I reject that. He's not Zach, is what I'm saying.
I think Zach has a better social game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Zach is solely social game.
Yeah, Zach has one of the best social games in the house.
See, I reject that, too, because I feel like people aren't going after him because they don't fear him. Like, the reason they're not fleshing Zach's LOS is because they don't fear him.
He is a player who is very physically intimidating and has an LOS. They should fear him to a degree, but they don't because of his social game.
I don't agree with that. I feel like he's so boring that they realize, like, why am I going to get rid of this guy? I can beat him at the end. Why in the world would I waste my vote on Zach?
There are plenty of boring people that play these games, and lots of them get voted out all over the place. It takes a certain level of the right formula, and I do think that Zach has that. It's his affability, it's his willingness to be a part of a group and be loyal to other people, whereas there are plenty of other people who are equally boring or equally less threatening but still cause enough waves or get themselves in trouble to a point where they get sent home.
All right, so this is a moot point unless Zach wins the game, so let's table this for now. If he wins the game in a couple of weeks, we can come back to this. If not, I don't want to talk about it ever again.
All right. Well, so that was what was going on there. Then you have, Hunter and Erica Hunter still pretending to be on Erica's side, but in reality, he wants her gone. But he doesn't even have a vote, so it doesn't really matter much. You see that Jess seems to be the target for Erica and Tori to a degree, that maybe they can get votes on Jess. Maybe she's the alternative, but that doesn't really go anywhere. Jess is going to have some conversations in bed with a few people, and there's a funny moment where she's talking about their breath, and that would really just make this whole situation even worse. So I feel for you, Jess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if you got the sloth punishment, you'd be in the bed and like your version of spooning would be like facing each other and like touching feet or something. Like you, but you would do like the bare minimum of what would be required.
I do like the, hey, what's up pose, but then I would not get any closer. We'd be all
hey,
right.
Hey, what's up, girl?
Especially if the breath smells.
I got a kick out of her and Dustin in bed together because, you know, Dustin didn't have to eat the gross food. He made everybody else eat it. So him and Jess are just looking right at each other in this bed.
Yeah.
And you know he's smelling that. He's like, well, now I got to reap what I sowed. Okay.
So really, I think that this episode, more than any other episode for me, is when the Erica of it all really caught up with the show. And there was really, I felt like there wasn't even an alternative plot happening that was feasible in any way. And as opposed to the previous episode, the date night that I really enjoyed, where we saw a lot of character development, individual conversations, I could follow the thread. This felt a lot more like this is what we all just discussed in detail last time. So let's just do this again and then hope it works this time. And so I don't know if there's a lot else that was happening here strategically, apart from there was one conversation between Hunter and Zach where Hunter is trying to make some inroads with the guys and Zach in particular. And it did feel like he maybe made a little bit of progress here, CJ.
I think. To an extent, yes, but I also think that Zach is just kind of, it's not hard to necessarily convince Zach of anything aside from giving up his LOS.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. Yeah, you can't convince him to give up his LOS, CJ, but I feel like that it's not like the world's greatest feat to convince Zach of something. Like I said on Twitter that I feel like Hunter, I was LOLing at Hunter saying, all I have in this game is my word. All I've got is my word, which is exactly how he says it. And then he goes to Zach and says this, and I'm like, I can't believe anybody's dumb enough to believe this. But then again, he's talking to Zach, so maybe it actually worked here. I don't understand what version of reality Hunter is looking at here, where he thinks that he's going to be targeted because there aren't enough guys left, and so they're going to vote him out. That is a really misogynistic way of looking at the game. No tea. I felt like that was really shitty of him to say. Like all the women are just going to turn to Hunter and vote him out because I guess he would be the biggest threat because he's a dude and he's the only one left. Like, that made no sense to me whatsoever. Hunter, you can take that and shove it.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I got a...
Oh, go ahead.
I got a kick out of the fact that he was... I forgot if he was talking to Zach or Dustin, but he had said, like, guys have big egos. If you boost it up, they'll feel better. And I was like, Hunter, you literally have probably the biggest ego in this game. Like... Is the self-awareness not like the lack of self-awareness from like half of the cast is astounding.
It really is astounding. You know, to your previous point, Taryn, about the fact that it was a like copy and paste as far as the strategy goes from the previous episode and the Erica of it all caught up with everything here. I feel like that's the cast's fault. And this is what I said previously where I, you know, Audrey invited all these people to come down and play Sequester. You know that this is a show in its infancy. I feel like it's incumbent upon the contestants within the game to alter the course of events here so that it's not a fucking boring show, because right now it's a boring show. And I feel like if they would just take it upon themselves to realize, you know what? This isn't exactly the best television to just keep voting out the same girl week after week. Then maybe it would be a little bit more interesting to watch. But right now it's fucking boring. And that's just how I feel, CJ. And I know, having talked to you a little bit offline, that you're mostly with me on that front.
I would agree. Yes, it is. Well, and that's the problem, though, is like so many big personalities, because you need some people who are going to play for the sake, more so for entertaining than
for the game.
I have to play to win. Yeah,
look, like, they're not
play the game.
They are not playing for $1 million. For God's sake, it's on YouTube, and the prize at the end is $2,500. Seriously, can you get your head out of your ass for 1 second and think about something beyond yourself and try to maybe play for the game and the purpose of why you're there and help grow the show? Drew understood that. Kevin understood that.
You keep saying, though, that it's all about winning. Winning is the only thing that matters. Second place gets nothing. No, you keep saying. You said second place gets nothing. It's all about the win. That's what you keep saying.
If Zach gets to the end and wins, I'm like, I don't even know. To me, this season didn't even happen. Like, there's no way. That cannot happen. So I'm trying to instill it in the people who come after this season. Okay, you look at season two and look at season three, okay? You saw how season two played? They were bonkers. They were amazing. They gave us, like, week after week after week, they gave us something interesting to watch. Literally, season three, copy and paste. Like, nothing interesting happening on the show. Let's just vote out Erica again and hope the audience buys it this time. Spoiler alert, we're not.
I are you saying they should play to win or they should play to make good TV? I just want
both.
Clarity on this.
I need both.
But do you need both in the same player, or are you willing to accept that you're probably not going to get many players who are going into it with the goal and the strategy to, like, give you good gameplay and, like, play
I'll say this.
And still be an entertainer?
If you don't want to give us good TV, don't try out for season four. Do not do it. Like, seriously, I will rail you up, down, and sideways if you come on and give us a boring show. And the people who are giving us a boring show right now are Jessica, Jayla, Hunter, Zach. I'm sorry. It's a very boring show right now when you're just doing what other people tell you to do. I just don't like it. I'm sorry.
The problem is, though, and I feel like you're forgetting it because they're all gone. But, like, you had a Kevin. You had a Jay West. I mean, he kind of ruined that himself, but had he not, I feel like if that chaos and self-destructive energy stayed around longer, there would have been more of those entertainers there to be like, I'm here to have fun and I want to stir the pot, say, like a Judd, than what happened where they all kind of took each other out and now we're left with a bunch of people who, generally speaking,
so do you think that we just got unlucky? Like because your season had a bunch of, like, interesting personalities at the end that all had agendas of their own. I don't see other agendas here from these people. It's just, what am I being told to do? Okay, I guess I'll vote that way. Am I wrong?
I think it is unlucky in the sense that just they picked each other off, and I don't think there was enough to really stir the pot, because I feel like had a different group of people been here and within the cast been at this round,
yes,
the round would have probably been a lot more effective than it was. But because this is kind of what we're left with, it is what it is.
I feel like we got unlucky too, in that this cast kept picking people for battles in the early rounds in the pre-jury who were interesting in good TV. I mean, so many people who got picked for battle were good TV. And you know that when you pick them for battle in the early rounds, one of them is going to go home. And, like, I feel like that if you go on season four and you have a chance to pick somebody, pick the boring people, pick the people that are wallpaper. That would be so much better for us if we get to eliminate a lot of the boring people and keep all the crazies for the end.
The last three podcasts we've done, you've said emphatically, don't play for good TV. It never works. It's always backwards.
I mean, it's like there's a definite balance where you're like, if you're trying to play for good TV, like Jayla, it's a very fine line. And those of you who know how,
admit your hypocrite and go.
I'm okay owning my hypocrisy. These people are boring, and I don't mind saying that. TJ, am I wrong? Are they not giving us a boring show right now? At least tell me that.
I said what I've said. Okay, I think some players are very entertaining. And I think some
Let's call them out. Why can't we call them out?
And have good gameplay.
Yes.
And some of them are duds. But that's the show. That's the cards that we were dealt, because people didn't play like a Judd. Because Judd in season two literally said, I want to get the boring people out, like throw up the boring people when battle match picks were happening pre-jury. And so he's all for this. And I think that that's something that didn't really translate here. And so people were like, no, I just don't like you, get out. And so because of that, because that was their mindset, was like, oh, I want to actually play, you know, yeah, give good gameplay, which is something that you said that you wanted.
Yeah.
They gave you some of that. And now we're left with the scraps.
Okay.
Yeah. I mentioned this in the previous round, but I think that the sameness that we've seen in the last few episodes is a lot more down to the fact that Erica just wouldn't get eliminated than it is the cast that we're watching. The only reason this didn't happen last time, as we talked about, is that Jesse and Hamza did something that we both agreed was a huge mistake, which is neglecting the status quo and targeting each other too early. And so these players are not making that kind of mistake. They are continuing the status quo, which is keeping them safe for the most part. And unfortunately, we were just in a situation where somebody that was eliminated 3 rounds ago, it was still here. And so they had to keep doing the same thing in order to finally get the result that they had decided 3 rounds ago. Now, I think we'll start to see the game completely different, completely changed, because we haven't seen a jury phase of the game without them needing to take out Erica before getting to do anything else. And so I think honestly that was the biggest hurdle that they had to jump in this season.
Let's talk about that then, because I feel like, and this is like a big ask, obviously, like, is the battle match aspect hurting the jury phase of the show? Like, is it, would it have been better for Erica to just go on her way after being voted out, whenever the hell she was, and just say, see you later? Because I feel like that the battle match aspect of the show leads more to people like Hunter playing a very passive, scared game. Rather, if it wasn't there, then I feel like they would play harder.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this, they have something somewhat similar in The Genius, where you can technically keep surviving if you can, you know, win death matches. It's been a while now,
right?
But I think it works a lot there, because you don't, it doesn't, it's not always a vote. Like, the game matters more than the vote. So it's not always the same person that's going to lose. It's like the game influences who goes there. And so you don't see them trying to vote one person out over and over, only to see you get foiled over and over. And so I don't know, maybe there are better twists for this post-jury phase that interfere even more with how the voting works to really shake things up. Or maybe we just got unlucky with some of how it worked. Like, maybe if, you know, maybe if Erica had gotten the greed thing this round, then we would have seen something interesting happen. Maybe if, you know,
yeah,
maybe
we're never that lucky in season three.
Right. So I don't know, maybe there needs to be more involved that, or maybe we just got unlucky in general. And that's just kind of happens sometimes on these shows.
Yeah. And you know what? Just everybody who listens to me, you guys know I'm this way on Big Brother. I'm this way on other shows that I watch. It's not like you're getting a different Brent just because I happen to be a little bit closer to the cast and actually like talk to them and interview them. Like, this is the way I am whenever things get boring on any show. When Big Brother 19, like, I was beside myself the entire time watching Paul march to the end and people just like taking it on the chin. So this is what happens when things get boring. I get angry.
Well, also, when the outcome is not what you desired.
That too. Yes.
That's, I think, a big part
important
of this as well.
Important.
Yeah. I think something the people in the comments had brought up was that Erica wasn't really coming back in and willing, like super willing to say a name when she was winning her battle matches. She wasn't coming back in and switching up her gameplay. She was going right back to Hunter. And while she like tried to kind of build some bridges with, say, like, camera, she wasn't really trying to work with like the stragglers, which was who she needed to build those bonds with. And because she didn't, that didn't help her case whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know if she could have done anything, but her coming back into the house and being like, you know, I'm fighting for myself and I'm the only one going out there and doing this, and I came back in because I'm strong and I went physical and I went mental and I do all this. Erica, I love you, but like calling out like Jayla and Hunt, Jessica and Dustin, like when you come back in, and it just wasn't a good look. What are you accomplishing by doing that? Like, if you wanted to call somebody out, do it beforehand. Like, do it before the battle match if you're going to call somebody out. That way, when you come back in, you can say, "Look, I was upset. I was just was a little into myself. I was feeling attacked. But now I'm good, and I can make peace with everybody." But when you come back into the game, which we criticized Jayla for the same thing last week, when she came back into the game, basically said "fuck you all." When she came back in, it wasn't good either. So Erica, like, not the greatest gameplay this round, but you know, yeah. Obviously she got hornswoggled by Hunter, but it happens.
it's certainly an uphill battle, but. When, you know, round after round, you're getting voted in, I feel like you need to start trying different things. And I felt like she came back in every time trying the same thing. She like, even like, I felt like this round, the previous round, she was still doing the, you know, from the debate, like her arguments about why she shouldn't have been in this spot in the first place. And like that, like that's not going to impact anyone because they've already heard that a bunch of times and they've already decided they don't care. You need to shake it up. You need to start, you know, I mean, think about if somebody like Brayden was in this spot, right, where he was constantly thinking about like new ways that he could maybe like call out a target, say, "This is my target now." And now they have to be terrified that if you get voted out there, you're going to go in. Maybe they start to freak out and get paranoid, start to approach people that you hadn't approached before in a different way. All sorts of different, throw out lies, do anything, you know, but it just felt like it was the same game plan.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like, look, we're talking about the seven deadly sins twist. And obviously Erica is not without sin here. I feel like she played a really poor game as she felt more and more attacked. Her gameplay got more and more tunnel vision, where she really couldn't look outside herself and see the opportunities that lay in front of her or change up her game in a way that would alter the outcome of the vote. It just wasn't there, but I still stan her.
Well, I mean, she perfectly fits what you enjoy, especially the role, like being the sort of, I mean, she's the Rachel Riley, 100%.
Oh, God, she is, yes.
So ultimately, here it is. Erica voted out once again from, I believe, everyone except for obviously, or who didn't? Tori didn't?
No, Tori voted for Jessica. Zach voted for Jayla and Jessica. So Jessica actually got two votes. Erica actually
actually went with Tori.
Yeah, he went with Tori. And so it was actually a 3-2 vote for Erica over Jessica. And Erica did not vote for Jessica. She voted for Zach here.
Goes to show that she should have been.
I will say this, that if it had gone to a tie, obviously, if Erica had not voted for Zach and had voted for Jessica instead, which is what she thought Tori was doing. So I don't understand. Maybe I think what happened was she thought everybody was voting for Jessica and she didn't want to be, she wanted to be safe for one round, but she forgot that they needed her vote. So if she would have voted for Jessica here, then it would have been a 3-3 tie. I have gotten confirmation from Audrey that Zach would have been still, like, the twist is still in play. Hunter doesn't have a vote. And Zach would have been forced to split his votes. Since he didn't vote for Erica the first time around, he would have been forced to split his votes between Erica and Jessica. And he did vote for Jessica the first time around. So Erica would have gotten one more vote than she originally had. And assuming Dustin and Jayla stay strong with wanting Erica out, which you have to believe that they would have, Erica would have gone home here in a 4-3 vote. So that's how I perceive things would have went out if she would have correctly voted for Jessica. So I don't think the outcome would have been any different, but it would have made us feel a lot better.
Yeah, and I mean, there's certainly a chance. If you can bluff it and they don't realize that Zach has to split his vote, or they don't realize where Zach's vote is, if they're thinking, "I don't even know who voted to vote out Jessica," and they're worried about a tie going to a wheel where there's only like a couple of options on the wheel, then they could very easily end up flipping their votes. So,
Erica, what were you doing there? Actually, I do know that she did an interview on My Weekly Meltdown about an hour ago. Of course, it takes place like an hour before the show when I'm getting ready, so I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm hoping they asked her why you voted for Zach there instead of Jessica, which you thought everybody else was doing, so that would have been great.
No, they literally, there was a conversation, and it was between Tori, Hunter, and Erica just looks at Tori and it's like, "Okay, so just throw your vote. Like, just throw your vote, okay?" And it was, like, towards the end of the round, and I was like, why would you not vote together. Did I miss something? Because I'm guessing I didn't, since this is right before the votes happened.
I think she had no idea that they were really targeting her. Nobody was honest enough with Erica to say, look, some people are still wanting you out here. We need your vote this round. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. See, I agree with you, Taryn. You don't know what happens within a tie scenario where the Wheel of Misfortune comes in, and they don't, I can't remember the way the rules work, but I think they usually just go to the vote unless somebody has something that they want to say. I think that's how it works. Like, Audrey gives anybody who wants to say anything a chance to say anything before the revote, and then they if nobody wants to say anything, then they just go to the revote. So I don't know if something would have happened or not, but it certainly would have been better than getting voted out here.
Yeah. Well, I went to the comments to see the votes, and it said that they would be refreshed in an hour. And then after an hour, I refreshed and it still wasn't there. I couldn't find the votes.
Oh, really?
Maybe it took a little longer.
Maybe it took longer because I looked at, the show went live at 8 o'clock and I got home at like 10:30 and they were there. So,
yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was wondering if I was doing something wrong. Like, is it in that same comment? Because the same thing happened to me last week. And last week I watched it a day later and the votes still weren't there. So I felt like I was doing something wrong. Like, maybe I just wasn't finding the comment. I don't know.
Oh, Tracy in the chat saying, no, they didn't, Brent. But I don't know if she's talking about the vote or what. People are saying you're right, which is usually correct. So.
all right. So. So Erica gets the majority of the votes here, and now she has to choose who she's going to battle match. And so she's choosing between Jess, Hunter, who has to stand up, and then we have
Dustin stood up, but he was safe.
Right, she couldn't choose Dustin.
Jayla and Jessica were the only two.
Right. So Jayla was the other option. She decided to not go with Jayla. She says that that Jess needs to prove herself.
Which I hate that reason.
Just say you want the easy pickings and go.
Thank you. Erica, God, I love you, but that is the worst reality television. I cannot stand it when people say that. Jayla was the one who started saying that this season. I think other people have said it in the past. Don't freaking say that on reality television. Nobody needs to prove themselves to be there. Anybody who gets to the end and has five people vote for them is going to be the winner of this season. Like, just say that you want the easy win. You thought that let's be real. You thought that Jessica was a paper tiger, okay? And you thought you could beat her. That's
I think
the
she
real
thought
key.
She was a paper puppy.
Well, that too, yeah.
but turns out not the case. So Jessica is chosen, and Jessica takes it like a champ. Like, let's just do this. Let's do this. They're dressed up in, I don't know what you would call these things, like...
Moomoos.
Boomoos?
Moomoos.
Moomoos.
Yeah.
These big outfits that are like balloon shaped. And I actually I didn't realize this until later, but this was apparently a controversial battle match. I loved it. I loved this battle match. I thought it was a great idea, great concept. I love that Krista hosted it. It was perfectly amazing race. And I love that it tested things that we don't normally see tested. It was very much a different sort of thing than the samey sort of stuff that we generally get in competitions. So I really enjoyed this battle match. I thought it was a great addition to the roster here. That basically... Krista is going to outline a series of dance moves, and it's sort of like Simon Says, but with dance. And so you need to repeat the dance moves, and it will continue to build and build on top of things. And it stressed me out just watching it. Like, I was like, oh my God, trying to remember this stuff as they went. CJ, you're nodding your head a lot. You agree with me here?
You could see it in their faces, like as they're going over it while Krista's like doing the tutorial, and they just you can just see the like confusion of the gears trying to work, and they're like, "Oh, am I getting it? Is it good?" And so it was great just watching their expressions as they did it.
Yes, Brent, I think I saw that you had a different opinion of this battle match.
This battle match was fucking terrible. Here's the thing. When you introduce the idea of music and timing into something, then it becomes subjective and not objective. And to watch somebody who has literally fought her entire way to survive in this game, get to the final seven, into the final, this is a battle match for the final six. There's two episodes to go. I want to know that she lost the battle match fair and square. I do not want any amount of subjectivity of like, was that a, did she do something wrong there? Did she not shake her shit enough? Like, did she not scoot her butt enough around? Like, when that happens, here's the thing. When I watched the show the first time, I didn't notice that Erica had made a mistake. And so I thought she was fine until the little things lit up underneath and said, oh, no, she made a mistake. And then they do the rewind and show us, oh, she actually did make a mistake. And then it was just like, you're out. You're out.
She made two mistakes to start.
That's fine.
The thing is, you keep saying this like, oh, it's subjective. It's not objective anymore because it's this opinion. Oh, did she do it? Even if you're ignoring the foot thing, because I feel like the foot thing would be the more questionable error that she made of the two, which was that like right foot step. When they're doing that part and Krista's teaching them, she says snake. And as she does that snake gesture. It's moving like a snake. And you see in that rehearsal, Erica's snaking. And then you see them get to it and Erica just turns. And there's a significant difference from rolling your body versus
but that's a subjective call.
Turn. No, that's a, how is that subjective? If you're okay, so look, you're telling me that me doing this can be interpreted as me doing this.
Well,
like me
this.
Just turning versus a full like body wave. My
issues with the challenge overall are larger than what we're talking about here. Okay, this is my issue, all right? This is the final seven into the final six. If you want to try something different, try that the fucking final, like the first round or the second round or the third round. Try it early on when we are not like wedded to these contestants in a way where we're bummed when they go out. Look, if Erica had lost the B challenge that Jayla had beat Thomas on, I would have been like, you know what? That sucks, but that them's the breaks. This one, I couldn't even tell that she lost until it was pointed out to me by the show in a rewind. And then it was just like, oh, you're done. And the way it came off was just like, ha ha, you missed your foot, you're out, which I didn't really appreciate. And I know that that's not what Krista wanted it to look like, but that's the way it was edited. And so that's the way I felt. I felt cheated at the end of the show.
I firmly disagree with that characterization.
That's fine with it, but let me finish. The other thing I didn't like about this was that it was like a mockery of a challenge. Like there was like weird music and it was like, this isn't your mama Zumba mixtape. And it was like Krista coming in going 5, 6, 7, 8, which when you have the fan favorite in Erica fighting for her life in a battle, the last thing that you want the audience to feel is out of time. And I felt like I was taken out of the moment by the nature of the challenge in a way where I wanted intensity. I wanted passion. I wanted a sense of like what's going to happen. But I just felt like the whole thing was a joke and I didn't really like it. So I'm sorry, CJ, if you care, if you like this challenge, but I didn't. And yeah, sorry. It's a no from me.
I'm not the biggest fan of this challenge. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying that it's great. I don't think it's one of the best.
But Mix. Fancy fencer 10 on it all.
Okay,
yeah.
No. Because there's a bunch that fall in the middle. Like, let's be real here. There's some challenges that just don't work. And there's some that are exceptional.
Very true. Very true.
And there's a clump in the middle. And I would clump this in the middle. You're calling out this issue. You've called out the subjective. It's subjective. I already rebutted that.
Yes.
Next would be the fact that, oh, it's the fan favorite. This isn't how she should have gone. So I don't know what you're asking here because it sounds
I'm
like
I'm asking from an editing perspective. Like, you know the way this show works. You have to know what, like, here's the thing. So it appears I'm calling out Audrey, and I don't mean to come for Audrey. So Audrey, you know I love you, but I am calling out the editing of the show here because I feel like, you know, the way that it's being edited from week to week, you know that Erica is the fan favorite. You know how people are feeling. But this show was just edited last week. I feel like the theme and like the little cartoon montages over everything were just tonally wrong for this time at the final seven with a shot to get into the final six. I felt like there was a way for like intense music and like a heartbeat sound to build drama into the show, which is what it should be at this point. But instead, that's not what I got. And I just like the whole thing just it fell flat for me. That's how I feel.
Well, I disagree pretty firmly.
I'm not shocked.
I think that this was actually the most tense battle match that I think I've watched in a while on this season. I was just like, oh my god, like watching them do the moves. It was like I was watching for a mistake, and it was very tense for me. And I think that, I don't know, asking for like a more serious tone, like you need your hand to be held on a like a fun little reality show.
I
don't know. Like,
look, it's a show in its infancy. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. Like, these like things that happen in season two, things that happen in the early seasons of a reality show define it later on. Like, for me not to say anything right here, I feel like it would, I would not be able to live with myself if I wasn't as honest as I'm trying to be right now.
Sure. I think that, you know, you felt this way about Erica, but like, just because you feel this way about Erica and it happens to be a popular opinion doesn't mean that somebody who felt the same way about Cameron or Thomas or somebody else doesn't have an equally valid opinion. And should they be catered to as well? I feel
Audrey knows that there has been a contestant like this in every season of Sequester from who's the girl in Jamie Lee in season one. And Jake in season two and Erica in season three, you know that the fans identify with him. All the comments at the bottom of the episode are all about Erica. You have to know that when you edit this episode and it's Erica's swan song, it should be handled a little bit better. Instead, I feel like it was a fucking joke.
I definitely take umbrage with the idea that it was like ha ha, or that it was intentionally made out to be a joke. I think that it was not given like special kid gloves, but I do not think that it was intentionally aimed to rub it in anybody's face.
I agree with that. That was the result. That was not the intent, and there's a difference.
I think in general that regardless of how Audrey had handled this, the fact that Erica went out, there would have been some complaint that would have been found with the way that it was handled.
Like
in the same way
but...
that people on Big Brother will always find fault with the people who nominate them. It would have been fine if they had only done this or not done this. I feel like this is a little bit of what's happening here.
Okay.
All right, so that's what the we have here on the dance. So of course, all of this adds up to the fact that Erica is going to lose this battle match. Jess is going to win. Erica is of course upset about the outcome. I do like. I don't know if this was a direct response to some of the feedback that we gave earlier, but I do feel like we lingered on this a little bit longer, which I liked, especially
I liked
because
it as well.
This was again an emotional sort of moment for Erica, and so we linger on Erica talking to Jess, and then we even get a bit of Jess on her way walking back to the house. I really enjoyed that that part of it. So
for real, I had this on my list of things to talk about as well. I came for the show in terms of its editing of the challenge, but this was a really great call to let us, I mean, to be honest, grieve a little bit. Like, that's look, I'm sorry, that's how I watch my reality shows. I know that you are a lot more hands off, Taryn, but this is how I watch my reality TV. And so I care about the people who are characters to me on the reality show. And yeah, some people I'm just like, fuck them, I hate them, I can't stand them. But like, there's no, like, if you know me, there's no animosity there. I've seen some comments of people like, I don't like the fact that Brent says he hates this contestant. I don't like the fact that he called this person stupid. That's just how I roll. And if you're going to watch me on RHAP, you've got to be cool with that. I ain't changing for nobody. And I've been at this for 5 years. So that's how it is.
They're characters. You don't know them. So you don't really
Thank
owe
you.
People anything.
I don't know them.
So we get Erica saying, get Dustin. Get him. Jess says, I will. I think this was some good jury management from Jess. Obviously, this is a great opportunity that a lot of people don't have in a typical sort of reality show where basically you're competing with the person about to go to the jury, and you get some extra moments with them after the private moments where they are at their lowest, where if you handle it correctly, it can really make a good impact on them before they head to the jury. So I think that Jess did a pretty good job here. Now, obviously, if she ends up like aligning with Dustin and going to the final two with him, that probably won't play well with Erica, but as long as that's not her plan, I feel like this was probably pretty solid.
Yeah, I we're running, like, to me, CJ, I'm running out of people to root for here. That's kind of where I'm at. So I'm like, I'm standing for Jessica, but it's sort of out of default at this point. Kim Matina was trying to convince me that Jessica's playing a good game. I think she's playing a good game, but it's a really quiet, boring game at this point. So I hope there's more to it as we go to the end here.
I mean, are you not rooting for Tori? Because Tori's the clear front runner.
Obviously, I'm rooting for Tori, but I feel like that's drawing dead at this point now that Erica's out of the game. I mean, I am really trying to see a way for her to not have to battle match her way to the end. And even if she's, can we talk about this really quickly before we go? So Tori's plan was to keep Erica in so that she would have somebody to align with at the final four. I'm actually of the opinion that she doesn't really need an Erica there. She just needs somebody who cares about their own like safety Zach. Within the game, or Hunter. Like if Tori is in the final four with Hunter, CJ, and she turns to Hunter and says, look, you better vote with me and vote Dustin out of the game here. If you don't, I am dragging you to the end with the jury, point blank and the period. You just need to know that right now. If you don't vote with me here and create a tie at the minimum, then I'm dragging you. Like, that's what she needs to do, which obviously leads me into what happened with you on your season. But like, I feel like Tori doesn't need an Erica here. She just needs to get to the final four and then threaten somebody with dragging them to the end and actually do it if she gets pulled.
Well, like, the perk that she has is all these people are scared. Like, you have Dustin, who's terrified of everything. You have Hunter, who's shaking in his boots,
right,
at the mention of any sort of danger. So that works for her. So she's got two people still in the game right now that are scared, and she could spook. Because Tori can be intimidating when she wants to be intimidating.
Like, that's what she needs.
Goofy, yeah, and fun, but she can be spooky, scary. Tell,
yeah,
Tori.
That's, I mean, obviously I'm rooting for Tori. Like, I think anybody who was rooting for Erica is now rooting for Tori to get to the end and win. And that would be obviously a very storybook ending for the show if she's actually able to do that. I'm just really nervous about her chances now that, because basically everything that Tori wanted to have happen has fallen to pieces and she's left by herself now. So I'm like, if she doesn't get votes in this next round, I'll be shocked. And she looks like she's probably going to have to win a couple battle matches in order to try to get to the end and then survive a really challenging final four vote.
I'm honestly curious to see how the final four will work without CJ there. Like, because this should be a stalemate.
Woo, baby.
But genuine, like, somebody needs to do what you did in order to end a stalemate. And I don't know how that happens.
I just wonder, like, I came for everybody on Twitter. I said, I hate these people. They're stupid, whatever. But that was the most amount of shade I have ever heard on a podcast.
I listen. All right. I wasn't aligned with any of them. So in my defense, there was no 2-2 going into it.
But what I'm saying is it creates 2-2 naturally.
Yeah. So they have, listen, I just had to defend the little drag that was made. The 2-2 is going to be nice.
it's just like, I'm very curious to see how it shakes out, because as much as we went after you, I don't see how it resolves unless somebody finally gives in and does what you did. So surely somebody is going to do that and pay for it. Otherwise, what happens? I'm curious.
I can't wait to see what happens myself. So go ahead. Sorry.
There's so many lines that have been drawn and undrawn between the people who are left that I think it is going to make for a much more interesting roundtable.
Can I ask one question?
What
about the wheel? So at the final four, you know, the way Sequester works is if it's a tie, then they have a revote. And then obviously if it's a tie again, they go to the Wheel of Misfortune. But the people who were originally voted for are immune in that situation. So let's say we have a final four of Dustin and Zach and Tori and Hunter. And Tori looks at Hunter and says, look, bitch, if you don't vote with me here, I'm pulling your ass to the jury. So vote with me here. Hunter's shaking in his boots as he always is because he's a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. So he says, okay, I'll vote with you, Tori. So he looks at Dustin. She says, we're going to vote for Dustin. They look at Dustin, vote for him. Dustin and Zach look at Tori, vote for her. They repeat the vote, same result happens. It's a tie. It goes to the Wheel of Misfortune. So in the Wheel of Misfortune round, are the people who are originally voted for, are they immune? And the only two people who are on the wheel are the original people who caused the tie in the first place?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. So in that case, there's only two people on the wheel at that point, and you basically have a 50-50 chance of going home unless you switch your vote.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to know.
So then what you want to have happen is you want to be the person, you want to be the aggressor, right? You want to be the one that says, if you don't vote with me, then I'm dragging you. But I guess then once the wheel happens, then it comes down to relationships because the threat's no longer functional.
Yeah.
So having the relationships is the way to go because it should end in a stalemate, which should lead to a wheel, which means that you've got a coin flip as to who's going to end up picking, which means you want to put your vote on the person you think is less likely to pick you to go with you. So that's how you do it.
I see Ethan in the chat. He's like, you have to have a three and vote that. Vote out the left out one and hope they don't drag you. Yeah, but Ethan, if you're that one person, all you have to do is threaten one of those three people. And even if you know that those three people are aligned and are probably going to vote against you, all you have to do is threaten one of them and say, look, if you join with the other two here and vote me out, I'm dragging you. I just want you to know that ahead of time so that you're not surprised. We need to vote together in order to give ourselves both a chance to get to the end. And if they care about their place in the game, they'll do it. Otherwise, they're going to get dragged out in third place, which is what happened in season two. I'm not shading CJ. I'm just trying to recount what happened for people who didn't necessarily see it or remember it. CJ was voted out at the final four, and then she dragged fan favorite Jake to the jury, giving us a final two of Kim and Cameron, a different Cameron, not that one.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's very important to consider that drag, because I feel like if you go into the round table just like, I'm gonna vote this person out, and you're not thinking about the drag unless yes. you're the person that's got the pressure on, then you're setting yourself up for getting screwed over essentially. And you also have to be able to read people, because sometimes people bluff, because that's what I'm gonna say, and I stand by this, Cameron left at that round table, because I will put money down. I asked him right after finale, would you really have dragged Jake? He was like, no, I was dragging you. So you have to watch those bluffs, because at the end of the day, you can vote thinking you're good, and then that's not the case. So
yeah,
well, I can't wait to get there.
It's a risk.
You 100% need to be prepared at any moment to be like, if you don't do what I want, I'm dragging you, whether it's true or not. Because
it'd be convincing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise you'll be screwed. Yeah. All right. So that's what we have. We've got that final four to look forward to. With that in mind, obviously, I don't think Tori's drawing dead at all. I think that having Zach there with her as a potentially solid pairing of a vote, then with how the wheel plays out, she could easily end up making her way to the final two, especially if she plays it right. I had no idea how complex it was, because it matters who you choose to put the vote on and who they choose to put the vote on. And if you can somehow influence that, then you can really set yourself up to guarantee your spot there if you know what you're doing and you have the right people with you. So I don't think Tori's drawing that at all. I'm still really enjoying Jess on the show. I think that Hunter has been an entertaining mess. I think that Dustin has been entertaining lately. So despite this being a slower episode for me, I think we're really looking to pick it up in the next couple, and I'm looking forward to it. CJ?
I'm feeling better after this episode, CJ. Getting to vent with you guys has been really good for my soul. I don't know about the rest of you. So I feel psyched to watch how this season ends. Obviously, we have two more episodes to go, and I am very, very psyched about it. So by the way, I did want to let everybody know that obviously next week is just on Sunday night at 8 p.m. like it normally is, but the finale is going to be on January 29th, Wednesday. So it's not that next Sunday, but the Wednesday beyond that. So that's when the finale is going to air at, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, January 29th. I don't know when we are going to do our roundtable about the finale, either that night or the day after. I'm cool with either, but we'll figure it out.
All right. Sounds good. Lots to look forward to then. Of course, there's lots of Circle coverage going on right now. Very fun show. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Netflix. It's just two more days and we'll get to the final four episodes in the Circle. It's very easy to binge if you haven't checked it out yet. So check that out. And then about a week from now, hopefully next Tuesday is what we're looking at. We're hoping to get our 2019 Big Brother podcast in so we can talk about the year in Big Brother, what went right and what went wrong, and I have a feeling there's a lot on one end of that scale, so that'll be good and interesting and a good way to lead into a potential decade yes. podcast as well.
People always ask me, because like whenever we do these podcasts with Taryn, people are like, where's Melissa? I'm like, this isn't Big Brother, bitch. What are you talking about? But obviously, we're going to be with Melissa next Tuesday to talk about the year in Big Brother. And it's going to be very, very fun.
Yes. And I'll have a survey out sometime tomorrow to fill out if you want to talk about.
I love your surveys.
Yes. The year in Big Brother. So check all that out. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm going to do a stream about the Circle tomorrow where I try to run through the finale predictions in detail about where I think people are going to rank each other. So that'll be fun as well. CJ, where can people find you?
Instagram and Twitter, CJ Marie.
CJ Marie, CEEJAEMARIE, correct?
Yes. The you most got basic it. Yes. Middle name in the world.
I think, well, your first name has lots of flavor to it. So I actually feel like that works very well. You don't want to have like exotic on top of exotic or fun on top of fun. Like it's got to have a balance.
It's a good balance. I'm a Libra, so it's fitting. Balance.
Exactly.
And I do want to say, even though I at times intentionally and at times unintentionally threw shade at CJ, and I told her this at the start of the podcast, that she was actually my favorite on the previous season. I really, really enjoyed her on the show. I hope she gets a chance to play something again, because she's really fun to watch in these games. So good luck to you, I guess.
Yeah, I saw someone in the chat say that CJ was actually the fan favorite of season two. And I have to actually agree with that. I think season two had a bounty of riches in terms of people that I felt like I was rooting for at the end. So that is not necessarily the case this time. But I'm still hoping that Tori and Jessica could actually do something and maybe get to the end together. That would be really interesting.
Chad says I'm always robbed. Look, Judd, you were great too, but when you're not in half the season, it's hard. I'm sorry, I'm throwing Jay left and right and unintentionally. Brent, plug yourself.
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And I obviously do a live tweet threads of Sequester every Sunday night after I get off work, which has caused a lot of consternation among the cast and the people who support the production. But as always, I keep it real. And as I told them at the beginning of the year when I interviewed them before the season started, if you don't expect to get the real shit from me, then don't read my Twitter.
Judd in the chat, now I know why Darth Vader got to be the way he was. That's why I love you, Judd. All right. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. We will see you next week. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye. Sequester.